Okay, so first, welcome everybody to a rare, I guess, Wednesday morning share. I'm gonna take out the earplugs, so can't hear. Second. Okay, can everybody hear? Okay, so I want to welcome everybody to a rare Wednesday morning share. So we can get in our. Okay, so. First, just a couple of very quick comments on the last topic, and then I want to try to make a dent in our new topic. It's a very challenging one. So, firstly, just with regard to Zreason, again, Zreason is a massive topic, you know, we've touched on it. Just want to point out that when I think there are two questions that are interesting. In light of the Shaklei V'Tayri of the Gemara, one is whether or not Lamaskana, there is still a notion of Zrizin that only goes back to the previous, or that only goes back to the next time zone or the previous time zone. In other words, the Gemara had this Havamina, very interesting Havamina, that even though you know there's no back limit on Bidikas Chametz, if it's not going to be at Chatzos, right, that it should be at Safra. And certainly the way Rashi explained it was that's enough of a kadima, right, to establish that that you're accomplishing Zrizin. Again, if the goal of Zrizin is simply to display enthusiasm or to make the gesture kaminag maisa avos, etc., kavod for the mitzvah, chavivus for the mitzvah, not delaying, etc., then that could be enough. If Zrizin has an intrinsic din of tchilas hazman, the idea that, or that that's even some sort of a lechatchila, the idea that that would be satisfied according to the, you know, earliest time zone, you know, adjacent, you know, to, or connected to the zman of the Kiyum HaMitzvah becomes somewhat mechudash. Of course, it can even then be suspended if there are objective reasons that the Kiyum is superior even earlier. And according to the Meiri and some, maybe that's a pshat in our Gemara about Bedikas Chametz, that since it's Mitzuyim Bebesam and Ner, or a Ner Yafel Bedika, even within Zrizin, that makes it better. But the question I'm raising is this, did the Gemara invent this idea? Gemara came up with this idea only because it had the difficulty with Bedikas Chametz. That it couldn't figure out why, you know, it wasn't at Chatzos. Or at least why was it Lil Yadalit? And then in assessing maybe Zrizin, so the Gemara thought that, well, if it's going to be Zrizin, there's infinite possibilities, or at least, you know, Lil Yadalit. So then the Gemara came to the conclusion, they were kind of, you know, forced into it based on the evidence that it's sufficient to have an adjacent previous time frame. But once the Gemara's, you know, maskana, is that there's a different justification for Leil Yadalid, does this interesting, this intriguing idea that you could fulfill Zrizin simply by going back to the beginning of that time zone, is that still true or not? Very interesting issue. And particularly in light of the way that the Rishonim understood it to begin with, I don't think we may mention yet, and that is a Tosa sees it as Xeris HaKasuv, based on Vayashkem Avraham Baboker, whereas the Ran sees it as a Svara. I'm not sure which makes it, you know, more or less, you know, amenable, you know, to a Maskana being different. But either way, I think it's an interesting question, something to look for in others' reasons, number one, but even more so, something into the, I guess, you know, dossier of the Zrizin in terms of understanding, you know, how it works. And that's number one. Number two, we were discussing whether or not Zrizin is a din, even if it is Zrizin, is purely a din klali at all mitzvos across the board, or whether or not it also integrates into the particular mitzvah. And the truth is you could have said that maybe it's only a din in the particular mitzvah. In other words, Zrizin of Mila and Zrizin of Bedika, assuming that there is such a thing, is all just about that particular mitzvah. Or maybe there's a double kiyum. It's generally about a metahalachic statement about mitzvos, as well as being about the specific mitzvah. And as such, that will have certainly impact, especially when it clashes with other factors that are either prati or klali, right, in either direction. But just as an example of this, just to illustrate it a little better, what do we mean that it's a general idea, but it also integrates an impact specifically, whether it's only or both? So again, this goes back to Zekeli Vanveyu, which I think I mentioned. You know, it seems to be a across-the-board generic principle, Zekeli Vanveyu, Snol the fun of the mitzvos. We certainly find it in numerous contexts. But there is evidence that in some, it redefines, or at least it, I would say it establishes a different track for the particular mitzvah. So that would be an example of a din klali, which has prati consequences. On the lav side, of course, we have this a lot. You know, Marasayan, other issues which we've discussed. But on the mitzvah side, it's an interesting question. So, for example, when Rashi says that, I mentioned it the other day, that Lulav HaYavesh is possible because of Zekeli Vanveyu, and then Bali Tosis asks, like, how could that be? That's only a lechatchila. That's never ma'akev. So on some level, the answer is, of course, Rashi knows the Gemara, which says that the problem of Yavish is Hadar B'inan Valeka. But it sounds like what Rashi's saying is that either if there was no Zekeli Vanveyu, then there wouldn't have been an Ikuv of Hadar. Or that the way that Hadar works is it takes the general din of Zekeli Vanveyu and it turns it, you know, into a B'dieved, a Ma'akev. It makes particularly strong roots in this particular mitzvah. Those are not mutually exclusive ideas either, but I think one of those two ideas is what's going on. The Ravid, famously in the Sagas al Arif, when he wants to explain the din of Lulav Tzarech Eged, so the Gemara in Sukkah says, both in the first parak and third parak, that Lulav Tzarech Eged, and there's a debate, Rabbi Yehuda and Chachamim, Rabbi Yehuda says Lulav Tzarech Eged, and the Chachamim say, Mitzvah min amuvchar, and the Gemara says, because of Zekeli Vanveyu. The Ravid, when he explains the mitzvah min amuvchar, says, I'm sorry, the other way. The Ravid, when he explains Shitas Rabbi Yehuda, that Lulav Tzarech Eged is ma'akev, says that basically it's Zekeli Vanveyu. As he says what Rashi seems to say about, you know, Lulav Hayavesh. The point I'm trying to make is that we find Zekelis that end up being ma'akev in the same way that we might find reasons that are perhaps ma'akev, or that generate a status of mitzvah overis, or where you lose something if you don't do it that is irrevocable, that you can't reestablish. So we have this phenomenon of devarim klalim that, you know, end up integrating into and providing like chalos within the specific mitzvahs. Whether it's also double kiyum or not, again, that remains to be seen. And, you know, you could take different stands on that issue. So with regards to Zrizin and Bedikas Chametz and Mila and other examples of it, this same phenomenon, you know, should be examined. Again, I'll give another example. You know, there's a debate in the Gemara, Mitzvah Srichas Kavana, Mitzvah Sein Srichas Kavana. And there's a Machlokas had a Paskin. There's a Machlokas had the Rambam Paskins, our steers in the Rambam. Not for now. But in, you know, Megillah and Shofar, the Rambam Paskins, Mitzvah Srichas Kavana. In Ruchas Chametz, it seems like he Paskins, Kafu Parsium, Yoyotse, Mitzvah Sein Srichas Kavana. But the Ramban in particular, and other Rishonim agree, but the Ramban in his Drashel or Rosh Hashanah and elsewhere says, even if you hold mitzvahs ein tzrichas kavana, certainly there's a lechatchila, there's always a mitzvah and a muvchar to have kavana. Probably, I wouldn't say it's impossible, not excluding, you know, any other possibility, but much more likely that when you talk about a l'chatchila, mitzvah min hamuvkar of kavana in a particular mitzvah context, that's not just a din klali, or it's better to do mitzvahs b'kavana. Maybe, but much more likely that what we're talking about is doing the particular mitzvah in a more mehudar way. So again, I'm not sure whether it's a perfect example, but there's another din, which is a klali din across the board, which integrates very specifically right into the details of this particular mitzvah. And as I say, there are going to be important, you know, nafkamina in all these things, like whether, you know, if you do a mitzvah bikavana, you know, for if you want to be mosif bikavana, let's say, or you want to be mosif during doing a mitzvah bikavana, right? So the idea that it's not just, oh, a nice, a good thing to do, you get a spiritual pat on the back for it, but that really it matters, it's consequential, it's a completely, you know, it affects the quality and therefore the dinim of the mitzvah. These are issues that we find in other halachic parallel contexts. Each one needs to be examined for its own dynamic, but when, certainly in terms of his reason, this is part of the issue as well. So in light of that, I just wanted to share also, Gabi made a ha'ara to me, Biksav. I know he's here. Gabi, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here, Rebbe.
Oh, there he is. Okay. Namely, Gabi, go ahead.
In terms of
how about the Rambam?
The one in Mila or in Chametz Matzah?
I don't think we're hearing you.
The one in Mila or Chametz Matzah?
Gabi, I think
you can hear me?
Yourself?
Hello?
Or maybe not. 1 second. No? We don't hear you. Okay, so I'll speak.
Maybe you can. Oh.
It's, if you look carefully in the Rambam, Minuchas Mila, Perek Aleph Halacha Ches, it's, the Rambam mentions the fact that Mila's Sheira Kolayom, and then he says, but because of his reason, it's a mitzvah lahakdin. He also adds, this I want to speak about for another minute as well, that the l'chatchila hakdama is at Netzachama. Right? Anyways, the point is that it's interesting that the Rambam specifically talks about the Kedima in Mila as being connected to his reason, which is based on our Gemara. But the way that he formulates it, I don't have the Rambam here with me, is he says, mitzvah lagdimo. He says, because it's reason lagdimo, the mitzvah lagdimo. It sounds an awful lot like what the Rambam is saying is that this isn't just a din in reason, but this din of reason makes a lechatchila better zman for Mila. That's, I think, a good example that goes beyond what our Gemara says. I think it's a very good example of a klali impacting on a prati, but as a klali. And to contrast that with, well, point that we already made, but that Gavi was accentuating to me, Rambam Minchas Chametz Matzah, Perek Beis Halacha Gimel, where the Rambam does not mention reason makdim mitzvos at all, and doesn't say simply mitzvah lahakdimo. It doesn't say obedikas chametz ksheira kol alayla mitzvah lahakdimo mishum's reason or reason makdim mitzvos lachein mitzvah lahakdimo. That's what he says in Mila, but when you compare it to bedika, he basically says the mitzvah is, without mentioning his reason, tchilas halayla. Of course, we understand, you know, from the rest, you know, and especially from his view that you make a bracha all night, et cetera, that, you know, b'di'eved, you could fulfill the mitzvah later. But it's clear in the Rambam that the din of b'dikas chametz b'tchilas halayla is a din of zmano. And that's very important. He doesn't even mention this reason. My understanding is that unlike some of the Rishonim, and more like the Ran, the Ritva, Maram Chalava, he thinks that the Gemara did a 180-degree, you know, turnaround, that originally thought this was reason, and once they explained the din of Anoshim Mitzvim Bebeso or Ner Yafala Bedika, the Gemara basically abandoned that idea. We're not sure if they abandoned the time zone idea as well, but they landed it with regard to Bedika for this being more of a, not just a Prati's reason, but a Prati din in Bedikas Chametz itself. Okay, Gavi, correct? Okay.
Rivers and Swag.
Sure, okay. Am I hearing anybody?
Rabbi?
Nobody. Ah, I see. Okay, good. Now I understand. Hold on 1 second. Because I tried to put in earphones. How's that? Gavi?
Yeah.
Okay, great.
Can you hear me?
Did I say it properly?
Yes. Thank you.
Anything you want to add? Okay, my apologies.
Rosenzweig?
Yeah.
Based on the Rambam and Mila, so there are different girsos, but in the Frankel, it says that Valfal Pikin Mitzvah Lahakdim Betchilas Hayom Zrizin Makdim in the Mitzvos. It takes out the shin of Shezrizin Makdim in the Mitzvos. Does Rebbe think that that would indicate a more prati version of Zrizin towards the Mitzvah as opposed to being more on the person who is a Zariz?
Say, so read the two girsos again.
So the printed girsa is the Afal Pikin Mitzvah Lahakdim Betchilas Hayom. Shezrizin makdim in lemitzvos, and in the Frankel edition it says your makdim in betchilas hayom zrizin makdim in lemitzvos.
So that makes it even more prati. You're saying
that's what I'm trying to say. Yeah,
I'm not sure. It's a pretty subtle difference, but I think if you had to choose, for sure, that's interesting reading. Well, what does Frankel have in his text?
In the Frankel text, he takes out the shin.
Okay, that's the one that stuck in my mind. Okay, great. That's a good point. Anyway, so that's one group. Since everybody was muted, you know, we'll assume that it was Hashgacha, so we can go on. Okay, and if not, you'll catch me later. So that's a couple of ha'aros very quickly. I did want to say one other thing, two other things very quickly, and that is about the Rambam and Rashi. But basically, just to sum up what I just said now, where the Gemara says that you know, the reason for avoiding Talmud Torah at this point is because asi limnue mi mitzvah. That's really the question. Which mitzvah are we talking about? Are we talking about the mitzvah of Zrizin? Are we talking about the mitzvah Shema Yisrael and you'll, you know, end up not doing it, the whole thing? Or are we talking about the mitzvah overes of Tchilas Zmano, which is significant enough? Okay, and in light of the various explanations that we gave. Okay, two other quick ha'aros, mostly centered around Rashi, and they are as follows. When Rashi, in the Gemara, if somebody could get a Divrei Maaskal Nivdok, Ezra Rotblatt, do you have it? It's an interesting, the Gemara is actually very interesting, and Rashi, without accentuating it too much, kind of takes note of it. That is, the way the Gemara asks the question is, the Gemara says, if or, it goes like this, Hashad Kaimel and Dekula Alma or Urta, Mechdi Bein Rabbi Meir, Chametz Ani Osfer L'Mishay Shol, Salamala, right? V'Nivrok Mishays. So it sounds like that question of the Gemara, where's Ezra? Ezra?
Right here.
They open up, I see they open up 5:01 before 9 o'clock. Pretty impressive. Okay. That question of the Gemara implies something. What does it imply? Or what's the problem? What's there to say about that question?
Sorry, I missed the question.
When the Gemara says that, the Gemara introduces the last, we're about to start the new topic, but Hashad Akaimelon Kulama or Urta, Mechdi Bein Rabbi Yehuda Bein Rabbi Meir, Chametzeinu Asal L'Mishay Shal Salamala, V'Nivdok B'Sheis. There's something to say about that question. And Rashi says it, but what he says is a little, it's great because he says it, I mean he noticed it, but what he says is not, in my opinion, so compelling. Anything, Ezra? If not, we'll get back to you. So you have to pick it up or not. Avi?
I guess why is the Gemara assumed that you would do Bedika in the sixth hour just because chametz is also at the sixth hour?
Correct. And more than that, why does that depend on or? I mean, you're basically right. I would just say it a little differently. Why does that depend on or being yom or laila? The Gemara says, if or means laila, I have a real question here. And that is that the zman is chatzos. And if the or means day, it still means chatzos. Right, Ezra? So that's a little bit strange. It sounds like the Gemara is tola. This question being a question, this is a valid question only if you think that the word or means night, meaning that halachically, you know, this should start Leil Yudalit. But if it's going to start, if or means yom, then it's not a problem. Typically, when you say or, when you say yom, that means at chatzos. So Rashi is attentive to this. Rashi basically says, b'di'evad, you could say that. Right, Ezra, you have the Rashi?
Yeah. So Rashi says, Nivdok chamit v'tulas sheish, v'kod misur yavranu, lam v'lak tume kule hai, debish lama yor yamama hu, ikla terutze demastis enami v'sheish kamar, v'hashta tiksha.
Yeah. So all this extra, you know, wordiness in Rashi is basically his way of asking this question. V'im tomar, it's v'sheish lamar, yeah, or can mean chatzos, because during the day. Okay? And again, I'm not going to argue with Rashi. That's what he says. But I want an alternative for Rashi because I don't think that it's compelling. Typically, if you say something takes place at or, you know, it sounds like first light, morning, boker, any time during the day. It doesn't sound like that means chatzos. Right? So this is I wanted to bring a proof for something I've been suggesting a little bit. And that is, any ideas? Anybody have a suggestion? I see Yoni's with us, Yoni Goldberg. Any ideas, Yoni?
Sorry, can you repeat the question?
Yeah, I'm just saying that it's really a question of the Gemara. Rashi gives an answer. I just find it to be linguistically dochak answer, although I totally appreciate that he asked it. And that might be the only answer. The question is, the Gemara asks their question, why did you do Bedikas Chametz at Chatzos during the day? Only as part of their discussion, whether or is Yamama or Urta. Right? Let's say or is Yamama. So you say Bodkin is a Chametz or Li Yudalid, you'd think that meant Chatzos? So Rashi says, well, it's during the daytime. Good enough. Okay? By the way, our Rashi here also says something important, which we'll get back to, and that is that Bedikas Chametz, if it was a Sheish, or if it's a Sheish, so it's always going to be Kodim Zmani, Suro. We'll get to that. Okay, any suggestions? What's that?
Achilik.
Exactly. Meaning, the way I wouldn't read the Gemara would be that if it's a din in or, I'm sorry, if the timing was in the morning, right, that wouldn't be a problem. The mitzvah is at chatzos of the day. The answer is that's part of this yesod, which we talked about in Isur Malacha, right, which we're going to talk about, which we talked about a little bit already in the Ramban's Shita Neilu Ovrin for Matzah, right? We'll see what else there is. The Yisod being that there's no other day in the Jewish calendar, right, which gets split up at Chatzah. I mean, we have like some interesting artificial halachic days, like, you know, even though it's not really, according to most people, it's not Doraisa, although some people think it's a Kiyum Doraisa, like Rosh Hashanah being a Yom HaRichta, like a 48-hour day, you know. So here in Achilek, we have what, a 12-hour day? 2 days within 48 hours? Rosh Hashanah has 1 day within 48. And here we have 2 days within 24. Right, then you have to say, you know, something like what Rashi says. But if there's a natural, like, inclination to say that if you're if you have halachically started, something starts at 12 o'clock, you know, that pushes the boundaries. It's still part of that day. So then if it said, if or meant boker, that's fine, because it's at chatzos. So there's a, whether it's zrizin or lifnei zmano starts from the morning, that's all going to be a unit. But if something starts at chatzos achilek in the middle of the day, it's certainly not obvious that it also extends back to Lel Yudalit. Okay? That's one point I wanted to make. The second point I wanted to make is on the next Rashi, very quickly. Ezra, go ahead. The Ora Neri Yafal Bedika?
Rabbi.
Yeah. Rabbi.
Just in light of that, it's interesting. Rabino David doesn't like Rashi because of that reason, but his suggestion in itself is interesting because he says, really, the real question of the Gemara, it's not really bothered by the Nivduk Bishis, because then in Achanami would only be a question according to the one man Damar. He says, really, the question of the Gemara is really Nivduk Mitzafra, and that wouldn't be a question according to that man Damar, which is interesting because he's basically saying, like, it would never be problematic, according to the man Damar Tzafra, the fact that there's Sheshos, because you would just assume something like Tchilas Man.
So basically, he is saying what we're saying. You know, he's just reading the Gemara a little differently.
Yeah, in a sense.
Okay, great. I missed that. So, okay, we'll look at that, but put that on the you know, official record. Basically, what you're saying is the Gemara never had a problem that you should only start at Sheish. They only had a problem that makes sense to either start at Boker or at Sheish. But why start? What's the Yichus of Boker? The answer is because of Achilek. That's basically what we're saying. Okay, I didn't catch it in Rabbeinu. Maybe because he kind of gets to it by rereading the Gemara a little bit. Oh, great. Thank you. So, okay, good. So that's good. And I think this idea of, you know, the 24-hour day, I'm sorry, the achilek of the day is a very important yesod, and say we'll get back to it. The other point I wanted to make very quickly is in the next Rashi, or in Ariyafala Bedika, where again, Rashi does a bit of a tight wire act, I think, and no one talks about it. Ezra?
Rashi is ordinary yafla b'dika, but laila val b'yom oro machshech.
No, but is it the right one? One second.
So should I go? The next Rashi is nivdok mitzafra, but Rebbe said ordinary.
Yeah, I made a mistake. Nivdok mitzafra.
Nivdok mitzafra. The ika hakdama is reason. Kid eshkachon gabe milo, because Rizu say the Avram shnemar vayshkem Avram boker shalom himtin ad hanitzachama mikol makom b'laila lo haktim.
Lo hiktim. Right. Excellent. Right. So first of all, I think it's an interesting, the line of the Ikag Damal Zrizim is just pretty much what we've been saying about the time zone idea for Zrizim, which is like, and obviously he's bothered also by the Mila comparison, you know, as we'll get to in just a second. Because in Mila, it isn't, you know, you have more than one option, but the, you know, the beginning of the previous time zone is good enough. It's there's no, you can't fulfill the mitzvah any earlier. Okay, but either way, so that line, the Ika Hagdama Lezun, there's enough of Hagdama to satisfy his reason, even though you could go earlier, is important. But what really intrigues me is he says, Kida Ashkechan Gabe Mila, and then he says, Ubizizuse da Avram, where it says, Vayashkim Avram Baboker, Lohimtin Alanates. What is the problem with that? The problem is Mila. Because in Mila, which is given as an example, of Zrizin, right? The Lachatchila isn't Alos, it's Nates. So it's a funny kind of a phenomenon, right? That you're accentuating Alos in Vayashkim Avram Baboker as opposed to Nates. Why? Because either way he would have to leave by Nates? Hard to understand. Whereas in Mila, that the Mila is a Mishnah, it's a Mishnah Megillah, right? That Kol Hayom is Kasher LeMila, right? But that Lechatchila, we delay it until Nates. So it's just strange for Rashi, the same, you know, piece to be making, as the Gemara does, to two different things, but one which he's emphasizing, not even glossing over it. Right. So again, I think it could be that simply Rashi, Lishitaso, and Megillah, where he says that all of the dinim of nates in that Mishnah are, you know, are a chashash, you know, shemayite. Since the stakes are very high, if you do it too early, you know, so you have to wait. But really, it is a dinello. So for technical reasons, you can't go as early. Vayashkam avar baboka, there's no counter pressure, you know, or not much, right? But when it comes to Mila, there is. That's one possibility. Or once again, what I prefer, and what I think is certainly true for the Rambam, and for Tosis and Yuma, you know, and so on and so forth, and that is, you know, what we were discussing, which is, you know, Nates is sometimes Azman, right? When it's not the transition into days, but it's, you know, again, the quintessential Boker, or the quintessential Yom is the Yom, which is, and Natanael asked me about this the other, what exactly do I mean? So what I mean is, let's say from, in terms of the Rav's analysis, let's say, you know, it's the convergence of the two principles of day and night, or and Shemesh, or and, again, I think these are connected, maybe the idea of, you know, Nikar Shehu Yom, I mean, not just astronomically, but it's Nikar L'Bnei Adam. But instead of Nikar L'Bnei Adam being a din in B'nei Adam or Marasayan or something like that, meaning that's a Shiur in Yom, like unequivocal Yom or unequivocal Boker is Boker, right? As I say, the Rambam happens to have, seems to say this for Sheish U'machtza Bein Arbayim. Now we're talking about Boker. What would be the equivalent of Sheish U'machtza Bein Arbayim, you know, B'Boker? Presumably it would be Nates. But either way, what I wanted to, what I'm trying to say is that this is an interesting Rashi, in that the same Rashi, you know, has to speak of his reason taking place, you know, in something which is kosher kolayom, you know, dafket nates, even as, I mean, it's ironic, right? Because the mitzvah of Mila is bayom. That would, you'd think that would be, this reason would be more, you know, to the earliest point, kolayom kosher. And the Vayashkim of Rambaboker is a much more nebulous. I mean, it's Tivui Hashem, so it's not important. But like, what does that mean? Right, it's much more pragmatic. And yet, these are the results of Jia. Okay, now let's turn our attention. Ezra was doing the reading, so let's to the next Gemara. Next Gemara, we're not going to have so much time to have time to finish it, but we want to get at least to the principles. Go ahead.
The Netziv Al-Atar has like an interesting idea in that Rashi. He thinks that because of that problem, Rashi thinks that Zrizos is really a din in Hachana L'Mitzvah, and that mitzvahs themselves are covered by Mitzvah Habav Liyadcha. So he thinks that over here, even though Mila you wouldn't do until Nates, you would do the Hachana L'Mila. That would be the din of Zrizin. Interesting, he thinks that...
Says that when? Rami Sadeh?
Yeah, Al-Atar. And he thinks it's connected to his Hechsher Mitzvah Ksuva B'Torah that you'd apply Zrizos.
You know, like Mitzvah Boyos B'Shulcha, the piece in the Shiltos.
Yeah, he connects it to that. He thinks that Bidikas Chametz Kot Baboker would just be a Hachana L'Sheish Shavuos.
Wow.
Which is very interesting.
Wait, so then it's Siv Asis Stira?
Yeah, he notes in Rashi, he says like it doesn't make sense that in Rashi it could be Nates, but if by Mila, he says actually like Usser Lamul Ad HaNates.
Well, I mean, definitely the Chatchila in the Mishnah in Megillah. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah.
So he's asking this exact question. And his answer is?
You
know, Hanami, there's reason even in, Rashi means to say there's reason even in Alos, but Lagabi Dachana, and that's what's reason always is?
Yeah, that's what he thinks. He says over here. Yeah, he says,
that's very
interesting. He says, but Hare Osir Lamul Adanetza Chama, Kedusam of Megillah, El Debe Hachana Mari.
Wow. Well, then he's assuming that the mitzvah isn't bedika.
Yeah.
You know? Okay, so that, again, that's fascinating to note, but there are some serious problems with that. Okay, number one is that we're talking about the mitzvah drabanan of bedika chametz. We're not talking about bir chametz. So he's basically formulating bedika as a mitzvah shel hachana, But even then, if you're talking about the within that, even if it's a mitzvah shel hachana, you would still think that there would be, you know, din's reason in it. So that's a fascinating perspective. As for the idea of mila, so he's assuming, again, it certainly does, it's against the Rambam for sure that we read before, Perek Aleph Halacha Ches, which is that this reason is the Nates. Just that reason will only start at Nates. So then the Tziv assuming that reason is Kodim, is always a Hachana Din. Okay, interesting. And he contrasts that with Mitzvah Baliyad Chal Tach Mitzena, which is the actual Mitzvah itself?
Yeah, he says the actual Mitzvah automatically is just Mitzvah Baliyad.
Well, that I do agree with. I said the other day, we were talking about Zrizin versus Mitzvah Baliyadcha, which is as opposed to Shihuye Lomashinan, and also, you know, in Mavirin, that when you're actually confronted with the Zman or the Chefzah Shel Mitzvah, the Maisa Mitzvah itself. Okay, this is an interesting Nitziv. And the background of the Nitziv, again, I have to look at it, is that the Nitziv has this view about certain mitzvos being mitzvos Shel Hechsher. This is a famous piece. Where he talks about Binyan Sukkah and other things in the Shiltos, where he says that the din of mitzvah bo yosem b'shlucho only applies to mitzvos where the Torah itself seems to indicate that there's a preference, and that the common denominator is that where it's a mitzvah shalacha, where the hechsher mitzvah is a mitzvah in its own right. So according to the Nitziv, does he speak about shlichos here?
I don't think he mentions the shlichus part here, but he's just like, he's told it. He says that, like, he thinks there's like there's a machlokas between Rashi and Tosis about this point, whether you have mitzvah, basically a hechsher mitzvah, ksuva b'torah, whether the hakdama is dafka baboker or it's even earlier. And he's, wow. He says the Ramah.
So I'm just saying, I'm just going to add that, you know, according to the Nitziv L'shitaso, there should be another nafkamina here. And that would be whether you can make a shliach for b'dikas chametz, which we'll talk about. You know, whether it's a kind of mitzvah begufa or not, but that even I would say, according to the Nitziv, if this is really what he believes, namely that the bedika is a hachana and so on and so forth, then even if shlichus works for bedikas chametz, there would be a din of mitzvah bo yosem b'shlucho here. Is this Nitziv only within that line, that havamin of the Gemara maybe, or even the maskana?
I think he was extrapolating a little bit Lamaskana because he's being told of this idea to...
Even once the Gemara says Lafikach and so on.
I think so. I think he's still...
Okay, good. So that's very... thank you for mentioning that. And I'd say that has consequences for other issues as well. Okay, Ezra, go ahead. Take us to the next...
So, by my name, Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. Hamasker by sechavir ba'abra sar al mi livdok al hamasker livdok de chamir tidehu odilma al asocher livdok the isura birushusekai.
Okay, so this is a really difficult gemara. Let's at least try to get to some of the rashi prakim. Not difficult to read to know what the words mean, obviously, but to figure out what exactly is the safek here and how it fits in. If you stopped right here, Ezra, I'm asking. You know, something of you which is Herculean, right? Because you didn't, right? Probably you read through the whole sugya with all the Rishonim. It's hard to go back once you open up, you know, once you go there, you're a different person because of it. Am I right, Ezra? He's saying, yeah, he's nodding. He agrees. Yes. Okay, great. But let's say if you could remember how you first felt when you first led this first line of the Gemara, before you went on even, okay? And you froze that frame, right, Ezra? What would you have thought this Gemara was about? Like, first of all, it's a Hakira in the Gemara, right? Nice. First of all, it proves that we learn well. We learn the right way. Right, al mi livdok. Al maskir livdok, de chamira didei. Odim al asocha livdok, de isura, bershusei, Koi, the Pashtus. What's the issue?
I don't know if this is Pashtus, but maybe who is the Chiv of Bali Rabbi Matzeh upon? Is it the person who owns the Chametz, or is it like Risha / access to the Chametz?
So interesting that you said that. Okay. I would agree with 90% of it. It could be that 100% of it is correct. But in terms of my own Muskal Rishon, I would agree with 80-90%. But what's there to disagree with?
maybe the fact that we're only dealing with bedika and not bittel, so therefore it would change how you view the context.
Exactly. Exactly. Right? We're not, the Gemara's question is about bedika. And the question is, so bedika depends on bailus, it's pashtus, bedika depends on bailus, or bedika depends on rishus. Right? You translated it, interestingly, because you're like a Doraisa kind of a guy. Or you have Rashi and Beis Hamad Aleph in the back of your mind, or both, into Bal Yirua. And that's totally legit. I mean, we'll see in a moment. The Rishonim are like wondering why the Gemara didn't just ask it that way. And they're making assumptions, yes or no. That's why it's such an interesting question.
Isn't the pashtus though that bittel wasn't done yet? So wouldn't bedika represent that because there was no bittel done? At least if you read it, Bedas Rashi.
Right. So that's what I mean. That's what Ezra had in mind. If you read it Lefi Rashi Lishitasai, so then you have to wonder with bittel or without bittel. As it happens, we're going to read Rashi in a second, but Rashi in a second kind of anticipate again. We're showing today, you know, Rashi's anticipatory. We know this. I mean, Rashi, you know, Rashi's in Tomar and V'yesh Lomars are inserted as a comment. You know, a klomar, a deha, you know. So this is another one. Rashi himself addresses this question. I don't think it's a coincidence that he does. Because given, and that's exactly what Ezra was getting at too, given Rashi on the Mishnah, this could be a Daraisa question. If you talk about, you know, the perish of the Mishnah, see, it's not clear. And I think this is where it's not clear even in Rashi. Until this point in the Gemara, we're talking about being mefarish the Mishnah. Right? What is the word or larbasar bodkin asanir? For the right? And that kind of ended, you know, at the last discussion. Right? The words limnue mimitzvah. Now comes boy mine. This is already just a halachic query about bedikas chametz. If it's in context of the Mishnah, then for Rashi it would mean, presumably, if you hold like the mainstream view of Rashi. Let's remember also that some of the Balei Tosis, you know, maybe out of Tosis bias, you know, thought that Rashi didn't, in the Mishnah, didn't mean really that bedikas chametz is doraisa neutralizes bayira either. Right, they thought that it meant if you do good bedikas chametz, you're likely to do a good biur, you know, things of that sort. So broadly speaking, it relates to Bal Yirah, but not directly. But anyway, had it been in Perush on the Mishnah, in light of the Ran, Maram Chalava, Rabbeinu David, right, all the Rishonim that we saw, who do think that Rashi, the Ritva, you know, this would be a question about Bal Yirah, Bahimatze. But then the question would be, Ezra, who violates Bal Yirah Bahimatze? The person who owns the chametz, the bailim, or the person whose rishus it appears, right? That would appear to be a very fundamental question, right, about Bal Yirah. So let's take your Muskal Rishon for a moment. That would be an important, very important chakir in the Gemara. And we're going to discuss it, some of the echoes of it in the Rishonim in a minute. The problem with it is the next line of the Gemara. That's why I say if you froze the frame there, I agree with you, that's how you would read it. What's the next line of the Gemara? Ezra?
Answers the Gemara, Tashma, Hamaschir, Paisach, Lirosuchir, Lasos, Lemezuzah. Or reject the Gemara.
So that's the Gemara's trying to prove that what? Therefore the socher would be chayiv.
Right.
Good proof or not?
I'm biased.
What?
I'm biased.
But what's your bias?
I guess it's a bad proof because they're not really comparable halachos.
Right. I mean, if the question is the criterion of Bal Yirah, Bahimatze, how are you proving that from mezuzah? Right? the shallow part, chamira d'day, doesn't have an obvious equivalent in mezuzah. Right? The question of socher masker in mezuzah is who has the obligation to the mezuzah on the door? Unless you assume that the Gemara knew that the chovas mezuzah and the chova of who's chayiv and bayor bayimatzeh happen to be parallel type issues, but then certainly ikar chasim and asefer. So the proof initially, I'm not talking about, now again, can we go back to this? Meaning to Ezra's initial idea? Maybe, because then you have the next line of the Gemara. Go ahead. This is Hasam Amar Rav Misharsha.
Hasam Amar Misharsha, Mezuzah Chovas Adarhu.
And Hachamai.
Hachamai, Amalhu Rav Nachum Bar Yitzchak, Tanina, Hamaske, Baitz Chaveiro, Ima Shalom Masel Maftechos, Chalabas, Alamaske, Livdok. Vimishim Masel Maftechos, Chalabas, Alasoch, Livdok.
Every line here is difficult. We'll try to go through it. I don't want to spend too much time. I want to try to finish this by Sunday, if we can. But, okay. The point is that, so again, let's recap where we are. The Gemara has a suffix, who has a chiv b'tikas chametz, the masker, the socher. Right? We would have thought with Ezra that this is a question about chametz. Now, what's the question about chametz? Right? So Ezra's first muskal rishon is that it's about bayur bayimatzeh. Okay, that works for Rashi on the Mishnah, even though we're not sure there's a perush on the Mishnah. We'll see what Rashi really says in a minute. If it does work, if you want to say it that way, another Rishonim we'll see in a moment also address this question, right? Rabbeinu David, we'll see what they say about it. Maram Chalava. A little bit Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz. Certainly the Rosh Hashanah and the Marshal. Right? The rush in the end of Siman Daled. This is an interesting question. What would you have thought Ezra would be? Let's say that was the question. Again, let's assume this is the question. Then the difficulty is to fit in the next line, the line about mezuzah. That seems challenging. Okay? There might be another challenging problem. And that's the problem that the Balei Tosfos and some other Rishonim bring up. And that is, why is this a question only about Yudalid? Why isn't this question even, let's say the maskir rented out on Yud Gimel or Yud Beis, but it's his chametz in the home. What's the yichus of Yudalid? Or is it Kol Shekein, even Yudalid? Meaning, if you want to say it's Allah Socher, you know, the chiddush is even on Yudalid? Because that's another thing that bothered the Rishonim. Right, number one, what's this have to do with mezuzah? That's the din and the bias. We're talking about chametz. Number two, what's the difference between Yudalid and Yud Gimel? Okay. What would you have thought, Ezra? You know, if the suffix really was Bayra, what would be the answer? We'll see in a moment what the, but Bepashta says a muskal rishon. Alamasker or alasocher?
Maybe it depends on how you view Bali Rabbi Matzeh. Because I mean, I guess if you view it very like the Ron with his all the chashash achila, you'd very much say it's on the socher.
Wow, good.
But maybe if you call view it more as a ownership relationship by list, you'd be more willing to say it's on the masker.
Excellent. So the answer is it depends on how you understand Bali Rabbi Matzeh. Right? Just as we're going to turn to Bedika in a second, it depends on how you understand Bedika. Right, so you're saying the more you think that Bayur Bayimatzeh is an objective, independent Iser, Muskal Rishon, you would think that depends on Bialos. Right? Whereas if it's a din, a Siag Doraisa, we'll call it, like some people learn Tosfos on Beis Amud Aleph, the second day, yeah? I don't. But certainly that's how that final day on the Ran, and we had it in, you know, one day in the Kesef Mishnah, the Rashbats, Rabbein Yerucham, right? A lot of Achronim. So then Ezra's saying, correctly, that should depend on who's in the bias. The person who's in danger of eating it is the person who lives there and who's going to encounter it, right? Okay, good. We'll see. That's an interesting question about Bal Yira. So it becomes a question, Bal Yira is a Siag D'Oraisa or Bal Yira? Let's say Bal Yira is not a Siag D'Oraisa. Let's say it's a din in the relationship to the Chametz. I'm scoping all this out now, and then we're going to see some of it at least explicit or implicit in the Rishonim. Just helpful to think it out. Is it possible to say that Bal Yira is not a Siag D'Oraisa, but it's a din in its own right, meaning it's part of the profile of Yisr Chametz, namely, you have to distance yourself. You can't have anything to do with this noxious, toxic substance. Okay? Is it possible that that is true, but that depends on Rishus and not Bailus? I totally agree with you. The Pashtus, I would think, if given a choice, you would say Bailus. But there's something, in addition to the fact that I also know a little too much here, like Ezra, there's also something gnawing away at me a little bit. There's another factor that makes it not so simple. Jacob? Karp? What factor?
I'm not sure.
Svara. It's not right or wrong. Is there anything like... Do you understand the question? We're trying to think it out, right? We're trying to kind of map it out in advance. Let's assume Bayur Bayimatzeh is not a Siag Shema Yochal. Siag Shema Yochal typically would put the burden in the Chakira on going with the Soch, because he's living in the house. We Rabbi Matze is not about that. It's, you know, correct. You can't eat it. You can't get benefit from it. Right? Even according to Chizkiah, you know, all the dinim that we've discussed, it has a different Chatzi Shir, you know, all the things that we were talking about. Right? So then, but Pashtos, I think we'd all agree with Ezra. Maybe even the iconoclasts, you know, and contrarians among us. I'm not going to mention who they are this year, because I got in trouble for that last year. Right, Josh? Anyways. you know, on the surface, we would think that that means Bailus more than Rishus. But there's something, you know, also to throw into the mix, maybe. And that something might actually make it more bilious, but at least it's something to throw into the mix. Romy?
Well, I was just going to say the Socher also has a problem with association, doesn't he?
Correct. So maybe more than one could be chai. We'll get to that in a second. That's a great point. But what is it that you use the word association, right? Well, I kind of use it also. I was talking about being connected with the toxic substance. But once you use the word association, you're right. Socher becomes a candidate. And what's the most compelling, let's say, factor, you know, to promote, you know, the broader association, relationship, interaction idea? Still, which we've mentioned, we need to do more work on it. What line of the Gemara? What position? What?
I'm not sure I really understand the question exactly.
What is it that impels us to think, let me say it this way, in a formalistic way, the owner seems more connected to the chametz, right, than the person in whose rishus it happens to be, right? But what I'm saying is there's something, maybe all bets are off when it comes to chametz, when it comes to defining this issue. Tzvi?
I'm not sure.
Yitzhak?
The idea of Bivatechem.
Okay, good. Number one, the language of Bivatechem and the emphasis on Rishus, which is what somebody shown him actually, or the Gaonim quote. Correct. But in addition to that, either Ellie can say. Any of the Ellies, whoever wants to say. Oh, they're right next to each other in my boxes.
Is it the Shnei Dvarim Sheinan Birshutan Shel Adam V'Asana Katav Kilein Birshuto?
Exactly. Rabbi Shmuel or Rabbi Eliezer or whoever it is. That's always something that gets thrown into the... I don't know if Romy, that's what you had in mind or not, but that's a fact. You're being honest and saying no, not at all. Okay, but again, Shnei Dvarim Einam B'Shusso Shel Adam V'Asan Akasav Kilo B'Shusso is something that upsets the mix completely when we objectively try to profile, right, how this is going to play out. Like, who of the two candidates, right, is more likely, you know, to be liable or responsible for this Isur? Because remember, that's what we're talking about. This sugya is wondering. Again, we'll get to Bedika's comments back to that in a second. We're starting with a little bit with the Bayro, which we know to be Daraisa. But basically what the Gemara is testing here is which of two candidates, right, is more likely, right, to be held liable for Bayro Bayimatze. So again, one factor we've thrown in is it's a Siag Daraisa, we're worried about the guy eating it. It's the guy living in the house. And if not, you've got to explain that. We'll get back to that. By the way, that should put a lot of pressure on Bali Tosis, on the Bedika side of things, right? It would put pressure on the Rishonim, who felt that even Bali Rabbi Matzah works in that way. Why not the Socher? It has to be the Socher, right? But if we say that this isn't Siag D'Oraisa, it's the presence as a factor in relationship, in interaction, in being identified and connected with the toxic chametz. So all things being equal, wouldn't Bailus trump Rishus? That's kind of where we're coming from. A mashal amad over domen, it'll help us a little bit anyway. You know, we'll get back to Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shmuel in a minute, but there's another famous statement. You know, the statement of Rabbi Yochanan. Ellie, go ahead, you're on a roll.
I'm not sure what this would be.
This is a Bava Kamma thing, or a Bava Tzia thing.
Gezav lo nisyashu abaylam.
Excellent. See, I knew that the package of Ellie's, you know, where and I'm noticing your background there too.
Yeah, it's not identical to Rebbe's anymore.
That's true. Well, mine isn't identical to what it was either. But yeah. So and I see you're back to being yourself. Which is good because Yoni's on also.
Exactly.
Yeah, so what were you to explain, Ellie? Go ahead.
So the Gemara in Bava Metzia says that if someone, Gezel Velonis Yeshua Bailin, so if someone steals from someone else and the original owners are not Miyayesh, so Shnehen Einun Yecholim Lehekdeshan, neither one is able to make this thing hektish, Zeh Lefisha Einu Shelo, Vezeh Lefisha Einu Birshusam.
Yeah. Now, the Gemara has this phenomenon that appears in Bava Metzia and Dav Zayin Amud Aleph in the famous Ahu Mesusa case in the context of a very famous Tokva Kohen Sugya. And the main Gemara is in Perek Meruba, you know, where you're going to discuss these issues of Yish and, you know, Shinu Hashem, Shinu Yimaisa, Shinu Rishos, etc. So the Gemara says in the name of Rabbi Yochanan that Gezo V'lo Nesio Ashua Bailim, so there's a concept of, or there's a conflict in the case of a gazlan and a nigzal. The nigzal is the owner. He's the titular owner. Formally, it's his object. Right? But it's in the rishus of the gazlan. So what happens when there's a conflict between one person who's an owner, he has title, but the other person has control of the object. So with regard to Rabbi Yochanan, it's a little bit different, but it's still not a bad paradigm to be thinking about. Right? There we say, Zeh v'zeh eina micholam lagdisho. Each one, right, takes away from the other. Neither of them can be makdish that chepetz. Isha shu yakdish beso, ma beso bershuso. Right? It's a limud, exeris hakasuv. Right? But it's perfectly clear who's like in a stronger position, the owner or the rishos person. Ellie?
I think the owner is in a stronger position.
Clearly the owner is in a stronger position, just that it's not enough because he's lost control. Right?
Yeah.
Now, again, in that sugya, which is a massive topic, we're not going to discuss it. I'll just say very briefly, there's a huge debate among the Rishonim and then later in the Achronim. It's kind of made famous by a very short comment of Rabbi Kivager and Gilyon HaShas, but it's implicit already in the Rishonim. And that's like, how do we understand, is there, does the person in whom, you know, object the Rishus is he really a bilus? And it's his bilus which detracts from the bilus of the titular owner? Or is it the fact that he controls it, you know, and therefore practically, his ownership has two components, we'll say. It has a formal component, and it also requires practically that you have the ability to exercise to determine the fate of the object. I call it, you know, formal ownership and operative ownership, let's say. So the problem, the person who has rishus, he has some bilus, albeit less than the person who for whom it's shalom, or he has no bilus, but at least it takes away from the shalom. Now, either way, this is an interesting parallel, because what are we talking about here? The chametz is didei, but it's the birshus hasocher. Now, it's important to make the following, you know, critical difference, and that is the case of Rabbi Yochanan isn't fully applicable here. The only question is whether some echoes of it are applicable. Why is it not applicable? Ellie? You're a Rabbi Yochanan person for the moment.
Yeah, there could be a difference between Schirus and Gezel.
Yeah, there should be a difference between Schirus and Gezel. For example,
and there could be a difference between Hektish and Chametz.
100%. Both are correct. So on the Rabbi Yochanan side, the case of Rabbi Yochanan is a case where there's a, you know, there's not a shared ownership on one side and Rishus on the other. Right? There's a battle, there's a conflict. Somebody took something from you against your will. Right? Gezav alone to Yahshua Bailim. And that person has Kinyane Gezela. Either way, his holding the object is something that is antithetical and therefore cuts into your bilus, maybe even gives him bilus. As I say, there are kinyanik zela. Question is whether this din is based on kinyanik zela. So the undermining of your shalom, as well as the building up of his birshuso, is greater in the Rabbi Yochanan case. That's why, for example, let's say you have a typical mafkid and nifkad case, like a shomer. Like they, somebody's a shomer for you. Shomer chinuch, shomer sachar. Can you be makdish a chefetz, which is a pikadon? The Balei Tosfos say, sure. Because pikadon kol hecha de isa, birshusa de bar isa, that's not considered ena birshusa, even though physically it's ena birshusa. There is a discussion in the Achronim, in the poskim, the Ksos, the Sivas, they some quote some exotic Rishonim. Most Rishonim al atar hold like the Balei Tosfos, meaning most of the Chachmei Svarad agree with Balei Tosfos and say, if you're dealing with pikada, meaning a consensual shared relationship, I gave this to you to watch. So, you know, there's no, you're an embassy for me. There's no conflict. However, there are some exotic Rishonim, and they're quoted, and they were kind of accepted in some cases by the Ksos and the Sivas and their discussions of this issue. They say, you know, maybe Socher or Shoel are different. Because Socher and Shoel may have Kinyanim. So even though consensual, they're still conflicting. Here, it's even less than that. Because we're not talking about being, you weren't Maskir the Chametz. You're Maskir the Rishus, in which the Chametz is found. The bilus of the chametz belongs completely, right, to the owner. However, it's still not such a bad paradigm. I mean, the idea that rishus, you know, is a chalos, you know, especially if we're talking about applying it now to chametz, which to begin with has two wildcat factors to throw into the mix, both of which you guys said, right? One of which was, who said it, Avi? Rishuschem, who said, right? One is the fact of Rishus, which we'll get back to. Maybe that means something more here, even than in Kol HaTorah Kula. The other, which Eli Hyman said, which is Shnei Dvar Menim Bershusa Shel Adam V'Asana Kasuv Kila Bershusa. So that, all bets are off with that. Not really, but the point is, it's hard to know what to do with that. And we've already encountered it a little bit when we talked about, you know, the Ram's view about Hefker. We're going to get back to it on Dalet Amud Beis and expand on it. Right? One way is to say, Shnei Dvar Menim Bershusa Shel Adam V'Asana Kasuv Kila Bershusa. This is an exception. Number one, maybe it isn't such an exception. B, even if it is an exception, but it's an exception which largely fits into the larger framework. So, for example, you know, the way to say it would be to say, listen, Midoraisa, the whole Bayirah is hanging by a thread, right? Because it really shouldn't, there should be no Bayirah considering it's Aser Bahana. But the Torah says there is. That's the din of Shnei Dvar Menim Bershusa Shel Adam V'Asana Kasuv Kila Bershusa. But that's not more in Chabalah Chidusha. You're not going to completely upset the hierarchy. I mean, if it's going to apply, despite all that, it's still going to apply according to the one who's holding, you know, the stronger hand, you know, objectively. Like, forget about the Sarna vis-a-vis, you know, the Balyura. And a Shalom is always stronger, you know, than a Rishuso. And therefore, the question is going to be, if it's one or the other, it's going to be the Chamira Didei person, unless you think that you need both. That becomes a possibility, which we'll see in a moment. But even applying Rabbi Shmuel, that's what I meant by all bets are off. It upsets the whole structure. Namely, the other way to say it is, if you were operating with the normal hierarchy, this din wouldn't get off the ground to begin with. The real way to understand Rabbi Shmuel is not that we are adjusting, you know, for, you know, this chiddush, but ein l'chabalah chidusho. It's to go all in on the chiddush part and to say, you know what? This doesn't work according to the normal titular bailus type laws and hierarchies. So how does it work? Now we get back to Romy's formulation. It works based on the association, the interaction, the relationship. Nichale, kind of what the Ram was saying a little bit, meaning Rabbi Shmuel is going to be always a kula, or sometimes it's also going to have a chumra consequence. It just shows that we're looking at this whole thing in a totally new, novel way. We're throwing out the normal playbook of competitive, you know, parties. Ah, if we're doing that, so maybe it's about the person who's looking at the chametz, the person who physically is in control of the chametz now. Maybe that's a reason to upgrade, you know, the batechem reshuskem. I'm a little hesitant only because, ironically, again, for two reasons. Number one, in the Chabalah Chidusho, typically the bailim is stronger than the reshus person, even when the reshus person is in conflict with and takes away from the bailus in a typical Rabbi Yochanan case. More than that, the interesting thing is, and we'll talk more about it, when there's a debate on the Rishonim whether Yisroel Yanoa is Lachem or not. Right? And of course, this comment of Rabbi Shmuel and the reality of Chametz is one of the central topics about this question. And all sorts of cases in the Gemara, Shar Niskal, Sogin Maruba. Gemara is all over the place, right? About Isur, I know whether it's Lachem. So there's a debate among the Rishonim. We'll discuss it. The Ritva and the Ravid in Lova Gazel, you know, discuss, is there any Lachem, Bailus, for Isur, I know? Anyways, a popular view in the Achronim is to compromise. The Xos, for example, says, you know what? There is Lachem, but what there isn't is Bershus. Certain dinim require bailus and Rishus. Isuri Ana has bailus, but it doesn't have Rishus. It's like Eino Bershuscha. So for example, a Geg Zela If somebody were to steal it, that depends on titular ownership. That depends on lachem. Mm. But if they want to use it for, you know, for the dalet minim, maybe that isn't enough. So actually, ironically, you know, if we were talking now applying, you know, Rabbi Ishmael, right, and saying, you'd say, well, the bailus part is actually more intact, objectively, than the rishus part. So again, in addition to the bailus generally being more forceful than rishus in other texts, it may be particularly or acutely true, you know, when it comes to Rabbi Ishmael. That's what causes me, that's what gives me pause, I would say. Okay? At the same time, the idea of Rishus and what it is that Rabbi Ishmael is really saying here, because he is throwing away the normal din, it sounds like he's saying something more. I mean, if he's saying something more, not just saying, right, there's no bailus, you don't need bailus. Right? Meaning, there is bailus. Typically, you need Rishus. Here, you don't need Rishus. So what do you need? Bailus. Right? Okay. So what we've done so far, I don't have so much more time, but we're going to turn in a minute just to some concrete shittos. What we've done so far is just analyzed a little bit what might go into the question of who should violate Bal Yiroah. So again, if Bal Yiroah is a Siyag Daraisa, you would think default the Socher. If Bal Yiroah is a din in relationship or association, you would think default the Bailin. The din of Rabbi Yochanan, Zelvi Sheni Lo Zelvi Sheni Breshuso, is not exactly applied here because the other fellow doesn't have competing Bailus. Moreover, he doesn't have even Kinyan Schirus in the Chayfetz. It's simply physically in his possession. As Eli said correctly, you could be mechalik between, you know, Schirus Makom and Gezel, for sure, but you also could be mechalik between Chametz and being Makdish. But on that part of it, on the Chametz part of Bal Yiroah, etc., that is less clear. That's a much more open question. A, both comments that you guys made. Number one, Rishus. The Torah uses the expression, Lo Yireva Lo Yimatze, right, refers to Rishus. B, how does Rabbi Ishmael, or Rabbi Eliezer, whoever the Girsa is, Shnei Dran Menim Rishus HaShal Adam, how does that fit in here? Is that more of a reason to focus on Bailim versus Rishus? Or no, it's on the contrary. Those are throwing everything out. It's all about who sees it, who's connected with it at the moment. People don't know who owns this chametz. You know, the guy left over chametz in the rishus. As far as everybody's concerned, now it's a socher's place and it's his chametz. And certainly he's the one who's connected to it, who's, you know, witnessing it. So from a Bal Yiroah point of view, like so far we've discussed the competition. The other thing that we need to consider is maybe you require bailus and rishus in order to violate Bal Yiroah, both because of the gzeiros hakasuv of rishus and because of Rabbi Ishmael. You want to do Rabbi Ishmael already, at least you have to have both. Right? Or is it enough to have one or the other? Also for reasons of Rabbi Ishmael. Also it says shalcha yatara shal acherim v'shal gavoa, the shalcha is bailus, and bivatechem is rishus. So there's another question here, excuse me, about, you know, both of them being chayiv, requiring both factors for one of them being chayiv. Even if you say both, either one can make you chayiv, so then which one when there's competition? All that is part of the story in terms of Bal Yiroah Bayimatze. And what about the story of Bedika? Where was Ezra? I lost. Oh, there he is.
I'm here.
Yeah. So that's if you say Bal Yiroah. And that would be if you hold, let's say, Rashi of the Mishnah, presumably. And if you say bedika, and it's, you know, either according to balitosis or after, as we say, it should be shemi yochal. Oh, that would be a whole different story. Correct? Okay. Either way, all of this is hard to fit into Socher or Maskir, but it could end up being that once the Gemara rejects Socher or Maskir, that you go back to it. Except that the Gemara rejected Socher or Maskir only because of Chovas Hadar. It didn't really reject it because there's no parallel to Chamira Didei. So it's just either way going to be a very hard read in the Gemara. We'll have to see what we can do about that. Okay, we have a couple more minutes. Let's just look at Rashi. What did Rashi do with this Gemara? Ezra, go ahead.
Where Rashi makes the kimta that we did bittul already?
Well, first of all, what do you do with dechamira didehu?
Rashi said dechamira didehu hachamit shabayis shalohu. Rishusekai sharei ata habayis shalohu.
Okay, that's just straight. He doesn't add any insight there. But the next one, lasos lo mezuzah.
Lasos lo mezuzah, alma midi de mitzvah le rabia.
What do you make of that?
That we see that the mitzvah is rabia on the socher.
Mitzvah, what is Rashi doing here? Midi de mitzvah, he's trying to explain the connection to mezuzah. Midi de mitzvah alei rami. Comparing the mitzvah of mezuzah, the Gemara is. But it sounds like Rashi is kind of broadening it a little bit. Midi de mitzvah, instead of saying, oh, the criterion of, let's say, mezuzah and chametz, bedika, is the same. It sounds like Rashi is suggesting this transcends just narrowly mezuzah and, right? Midi de mitzvah, that's a klali statement. Echi of mitzvah, alei rami. What is that? Okay? Oh, keep going. Chavas Hadar.
Chavas Hadar. Lefi shehi mishmarta. Ukziv pesacha biascha nechnis v'yotzeba. Aval hacha b'dikas chametz derabanan. De'im yishun b'ay rabbi matzei ha'amrina lakman desagi levi b'tal ba'alma. Im mesech daite minayim shavi leka afra ba'amar kol chamira d'vese hadin v'chulei. V'rabanan hu de'itzrich b'dika v'hashta ke'agav na mibaylan tereh zel mimotel.
Good, interesting Rashi or just Pasha?
Interesting Rashi.
Very interesting Rashi, correct. First of all, there are a couple of things in there that Rashi is Lishitase about for Dalet Amud Beis, which we're going to get to, our next bigger topic, right? Number one, that Bittul is Mashvale Ka'afra, which Tosas disagrees with on Dalet Amud Beis. We've seen that already, right? Oh, number two, Rashi tells you here that we're dealing with bedika derabanan. He doesn't tell you what the halakha would be if we were dealing with bedika daraisa. Right? Not on a bedika level and not on a bayira level. But he implies that the issue would be different. Moreover, when Rashi says, you know, it's not like mezuzah, because mezuzah is chavas hadar. You would expect, and here, as opposed to this, which is what? Then he says, as opposed to this, which is a chi of Torah, because the daraisa isn't at stake. When you want to contrast two things, methodologically, right, when once you put the emphasis on how unusual, let's say, the mechudash, the first thing is, typically, you know, you don't have to say much about the second. I don't know an answer to this. I'm just making the ha'ara. This is a very fascinating Rashi, because Rashi seems to be pointing to two extremes here. He seems to be saying, the example from mezuzah is not a typical example of, you know, midi de mitzvah alei rami. because it's a special chovas hadar. The person who benefits from the shmira and therefore requires it is the person who lives in the home. That has nothing to do with chametz, right? As opposed to the bedika, which should be again a din of mitzvah de rami alei al mimutal. Maybe that's what he means, but it takes a long time to saying it. It sounds like if it had been Balira Daraisa, or if it had Bedika Daraisa, right, we still wouldn't have our answer. Or we would have a different, obvious answer. But separate from this, it's only because it's Torah Alav, Bedika Darabanan, only because of that, it sounds also like Bedika Darabanan is not a Kain Daraisa of Bedika Daraisa. Or Bal Yirah in Rashi. Sounds like Bedika Darabanan is an enterprise of its own. Correct? Now it's interesting, we're going to have to go in a minute, but I want to get in 2 points quickly.
Unless, isn't it possible, I mean, in theory, like maybe if Bedika is Daraisa, it would be more similar to a Chovas Hadar.
Maybe. I think that's very possible.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, exactly. That's kind of what I'm getting at. I'm just saying, On the one hand, he says Chovas Hadar, like, oh, you got mezuzah wrong. What do we originally think Chovas mezuzah was? Not Chovas Hadar. Something that's applicable to both Maskev and Socher? Meaning a chiyuv what? A chiyuv abayis of some sort. And then he's saying, no, it's just a chiyuv Chovas Hadar. We have to get to this for everybody. The person who lives there, it's his in going in and out. Of course, vis-a-vis the bias. But it's the hadar part, it's the gavra part that's mainly. The person who's yotze v'nichnas. What do we originally think? Completely a din of the bias? Or some sort of in-between status? You know, a din in the door, legabe habayas, or a din of the bias, legabe the door. I don't mean the door, I mean the dar, dalad resh. Okay? Not the person who goes in and out of the door. This is an interesting question. So what is going on here, both in mezuzah and otherwise? Just for the record, and then I'll tell you what I think Rashi's saying. So the Marshal has a comment. Okay. Kyle, you saw it?
I did not have a chance to see the Marshal. No. Okay.
Yoni? Tony Broth? Not yet?
Neither.
Okay, I'll give you a couple of days until we finish this, but Stephen? Marshall has an interesting comment here. What's that?
No, I did not say Marshall.
I did sign it, right? I'm not...
Maybe I saw it.
Yeah, anybody? Who saw the
Marshall? I saw it.
Okay, but yeah, I was just gonna call you. Anyway. Okay, but go ahead.
Yeah, so the Marshal writes. Marshal. He says that if Bedika would be Deoraisa, then it would be the Chiv would be on the Maskir because it would be his bias.
Yeah, that's a great, great line. I mean, again, what we're pointing out in Rashi was noticed, Baruch Hashem, by the Achronim. This is his way of saying, like, what's Rashi talking about? Rashi's saying that there's bittul here. First of all, it bothers him, obviously, Yoni, that Rashi l'shitaso, there's bedika daraisa, according to Rashi in the Mishnah, right? But who would have had that obligation? Not Rashi doesn't say. But what's fascinating about the Marshal is, he's not talking about Bayra necessarily, directly. What's he talking about? Had Bedika been Daraisa? So had Bedika been Daraisa, it would have been Alamaskir. Why? One more time? Are you reading it? Do you have it open?
I have it.
Go ahead.
It says, do you have a Bedika Schamitz Daraisa? In Cain, Hava Amrinan, de Bivadai al Hamaskir hu mutal, Shehare Besohu.
Wow. First of all, it's not problematic in the Shaglatari of the Gemara, because according to Rashi, this isn't the Shaglatari, this isn't what the Gemara is talking about. Otherwise it would be. What do I mean, Binyamin?
That the fact that you do bedika doesn't necessarily have to do with the fact that you own a house, but more likely it has to do with the fact that you own chametz.
Yeah, exactly. Our Gemara is a suffik. Ala maskir or ala socher? What's the yichus of the maskir? Chamira didei. What's the yichus of the socher? Habayis harishus shalo. We're going to challenge all these things. We kind of are. I'm just raising a lot of questions so far. Right? So comes the marshal to explain. Rashi says, this isn't me in the Mishnah. This is with Bittul. This is Bidiga Durabanan. The question is, a Torah Chalmi, we're talking about the Maskir, the Chametz, the Socher, the Rishus. Had it been a Din of Bidiga Daraisa, this wouldn't be the Suffolk. This wouldn't be the Suffolk, or we would resolve it. The Marshal is a little Mechudash. You would have thought that Rashi would mean, well, then the factor the Gemara attributes to each one would solve the question, but it would be more an obvious solution, like we said. Namely, if it's Ba'iroeh, it's all a maskir. Right? That's not what the Marshal says. So the Marshal is basically saying the study as suffix of the Gemara are not the same if it's Bedika. Because the yichus of the maskir then is the fact that it's his bias. Oh, we thought the socher was the bias. No, the socher is living in the house. Not his bias, is it? So the marshal is saying that, but implicit in the marshal is the idea that bedikas chametz, maybe, that bedikas chametz doraisa is different than, like, if you ask the marshal, right? Who's going to violate Ba'irah here? What would he say? He might say the maskir. Would he say the maskir because it's his bias? Or would he say the maskir because it's his chametz? Or maybe he'd say the socher, for all we know. The marshal is weighing in on what Rashi would have said for bedikas chametz doraisa. And it sounds like what he's saying, and this is a new perspective we haven't yet discussed, but which I want to now throw out. Till now we said, Ba'iroa, is the maskir, the soch, is it the bailim, is it the person, the rishus of what? The rishus where the chametz is. As a din, like Rabbi Yochanan type of a din, you know, he's connected to the chametz because it's Pershuso. But what about a different idea? Particularly not with regard to Ba'irah, but with regard to Bedika, and especially Bedika Daraisa, namely, that it's not a Chovas HaGavra, it's a Chovas HaBayis, right? Like the Maram Chalava said, Ubiarti HaKodesh Min HaBayis. Remember when some of the Rishonim were trying to explain Rashi that Bedika's comments is Daraisa, they weren't saying, you know, stam. You know, it's a hachana, or phase one, or an alternative to either bitul or biur. Some of them were saying, or we were suggesting, there's a line like that in the round. I just don't think in the aggregate he means it. That is, that bedika is a chovas habayis. If it's a chovas habayis, then almi, is it mutal? The maskir or the socher? It's also an interesting question. So the Marshal tells us, if this was Bedika Doraisa, it would be a Chovas HaBayis, A, assumption number one. B, the Maskir is the address for Chovas HaBayis. Right? I'm Mezuzah, that's a Chovas Hadar. It should be a Bayis Baduk, a Bayis Panui. A chametz free zone, chametz Rhine house. That's a totally different idea. Look at the Rosh Hash. I'm just going to take 2 more minutes as we conclude. Binyam Nisad Rosh Hash. An interesting parallel.
I saw it.
Right. It's a parallel to the Marshal, but where he's talking not about what Bdika Doraisa would have been, but
Bal Yira.
Exactly. Bal Yira Doraisa. You have it? Just if you could read it quickly.
Yeah. Nearly Kavanasa, di hava midi oraisa, shalo ya'avor al bal yiro bal yimatse, vadai de haya chal al hamaskir, ipnesha hu ha over, kevan de chamira di dehu, ayin barash simen dalid.
Ah, that's also important. Ayin barash simen dalid. Go ahead.
Ubi achronim, vahacha, kule alma hu over, kevan de asocher, lo kibel alav lishamro.
Wow. So this is a very important Rosh Hash. But you must look at that Rosh also. I mean, we're going to discuss a little bit of this now and more of it on Daf Hei, but also look up the Rosh in Rabbeinu Yonah and the Gonim that he's talking about. Because again, that's part of the discussion of Rabbeinu David and the Maram Chalav. I'll tell you exactly what to look at for next time in just 1 second. But so what is the Rosh Hash, in a way, is echoing. I mean, he's dealing like the Marshal with the implication of Rashi, right? Rashi does not spell out who would be chayiv by Yira, or who would be chayiv if it was Doraisa. He only says, "Oh, this is a Dindrabana." What would be if it was Doraisa? That's what intrigues us the most. And we're also very intrigued to find out what the nature of Bidikas Chametz Drabanan is. But even more so, who would violate the Bayira? Who has the chayiv Tashbisu? So while the Marshal says, and I think he says it's about Bedika, not about Bayirah, the Bedika Doraisa, that would be a Chavos Abayis. A, B, that would be the Maskir. Two assumptions that are challengeable, but are sensible. The Rosh Hash is saying, no, Rashi doesn't care about Bedika Doraisa here. He means what's the Bayirah that the Bedika Doraisa would neutralize? And that, whoever's going to be Chayiv Bayira is going to be chayiv, you know, for the bedika, in the same way that, you know, that if you didn't do anything, you'd be chayiv. The assumption that he makes is alamaskir, because chamira didei. Ah, but the question is, that's not so pashut, because the rush, what is the rush? Binyamin?
I didn't see the rush.
Ah, okay. So look at the rush. The rush quotes the machlokas harishonim. Let's say you have an owner, a mafkin and a nifkad, a Jewish owner, a Jewish shomer. Who's chayiv for Bal Yira? Right? There's a huge debate. So we typically think, and the majority view is, that it's the owner. And by the way, that fits into, we were talking about, like Ali mentioned, Rabbi Yochanan, no. One has rishus, maybe. This is somewhat rishus because at least it's Kabbalah Sachrayas. One has rishus, the other is bailus. So the Rosh Paskins, it's alamaskir, not alamaskir, alamafkin. The Gonim say it's alanifkad. Fascinating argument. Needs to be understood within Rabbi Yishmael and based on, you know, lo yiroi lecha, you know, bivateichem. Exactly. Because I think default, you would assume the Rosh is right, but a lot of Rishonim disagree. And that's where the rest of our analysis comes in handy. We did a lot of the heavy lifting analytically already. Now we're just going to look at the Shittas and see how it all unfolds. So the Rosh Hash says, ah, you would think, you know, maybe, and that depends on the Rosh and the Gaonim and that whole business. And there are more Shittas. Both are chayiv. You need both to be chayiv. Right? Says the Rosh Hash, no, here it's not even an issue because there you have achrayas on the chametz. Here you don't have any achrayas. Pure rishus. Everybody, even the gonim, are not so simple. We'll see Rabbeinu David Bonfield doesn't think so simple. He thinks you require both, even in the absence of rishus, the masker wouldn't be chayiv. Doraisa. Big Chiddush. We'll go with each one. But for now. So, but the Rashash then throws in, I think gratuitously almost, because he's not 100% sure. What, Binyamin, that last line? I don't think Rashi depends on the Gonim versus the Rosh. Because here, right, the Rishus person doesn't even have Achrayas. But then for some reason he adds also one more line, and that is?
V'gam habayis yikaro shel maskir.
Ah. Meaning, if the mafkid gives a nifkan and he keeps it in his own home, you know, that's another factor, even separate from Kabbalah Sakrayas. But here it's also the bayis shel maskir. Yeah. But it's also the socher's living there. Not so simple. So let me just tell you what I think about Rashi for a second. I'll elaborate next time, and then I'll tell you what the big things that we need to investigate are. I'm very struck by the Rashi about midi. It's a theory. I'm speculating. Maybe it's not enough to go on, but the Rashi says midi, you know, de mitzvah de rami ale. Right. So in light of thinking now, you know, it's typically, you know, let me say this. There are pure chovas agavras, right? Like the way Rashi ends up understanding chovas hadar and mezuzah, whether it's derais or drabban, I don't want to get into that at the moment. You know, it's the guy who walks in and out, who lives there, day in and day out, his hashgacha. Chovas hadar, it's a chovas agavra, even if it doesn't look like it. It's a chovas agavra as it relates to the home, but it's a chovas agavra. Okay. You could have thought that chametz, totally a chovas, by your chovas agavra. I own chametz, it's a lay mutal to get rid of it. Or no. It says mivateichem, right? And if you're talking about bedika, even more than bayira, maybe it's a chovas habayis. In addition to the shema yochal, in addition to, you know, the question of maybe there's the question whether under the rabbanon or deraisa question, it's a chovas habayis. Ah, so Rashi thought that the havamina was this bedika. It's sort of drabbanon. You could say deraisa if you want to go with the marshal, right? Rabbanon, maybe, is a chovas habayis. But there are two, there's a masker and a socher. Who has the dinim of chovas habayis? Tricky, very tricky. So maybe this is an objective question. When there's a chiyuv mitzvah that's connected to the bayis, right? Is it Rami Amaskir or Rami Asocher? That's the Gemara, and the Havamina was, that's the issue in Mezuzah too. You put the Mezuzah on the home, it's a Chovas Habayis. But there's a Masker and a Socher. So what do you see? That Legabe Chovas Habayis, the Socher is the address, not the Masker. That would be true for Bedikas Chametz as well. But it's not really true because mezuzah is a chovas habayis, but it's a chovas habayis legabe the gavra hadarbo. That's not necessarily true about bedikas chametz, where the question is a Torah chalmi. What is that? So this, of course, raises the question. In addition to we're talking about maskir socher vying for bal yirah, maskir socher vying for bedika. But there's another question in the sugya. You know, we're talking about masker socher in terms of the chametz, masker socher in terms of the bayis. But there's an objective question about masker socher in general. Is schirus mechira liyomei? Is he the bailim or is the masker? Or maybe it's more complicated than that. Maybe there's a long-term owner and a short-term owner. Or maybe there's an owner vis-a-vis the bias as it affects the dar, and an owner vis-a-vis the bias as a cheftza that is completely objective. So maybe what Rashi's saying is that's what's going on in the sugya. That's the connection to bias. Bedikas chametz is a din in chavas habayis. The question is, al mi rami mitzvos chavas habayis, the masker, the socher. Right? Mezuzah seems to be a perfect example of that. But then it doesn't. Then it isn't. And now we're left back where we started, or wondering whether bedikah is more like mezuzah, a chavas hadar, or the opposite, or the in-between that he thought it was. Maybe that's the pshat in Rashi. So to illustrate this further, what I want to do for next time, yeah, I wanted to look at some of those gemara, the gemara Bava Metzia, the Shakavatari Kuf Aleph, Kubbeis to Kubbeis Samad Aleph, and Rabbi Yonasan HaKohen Miloniel there in particular. See what you can get from it. Very quickly, the Gemara Bava Metzia Daf Nun Vav about Ona and Zchirus, the Gemara in Avodah Zarah Tezvav about Shabbos and Avodah Zarah. Just very quickly, Gemara is about Zchirus. See what you can about the Rambam's Psak, whether Zchirus is Nechira Liyomei, because that's part of the issue here. And then back to the Rishonim here. What does Tosus think? What does Tosus Rabbeinu Peretz think? What about Maram Chalava? What about Rabbeinu David? And if you can, just to look up the Psak, and for sure look at that Rush in Simon, the end of Simon Dalim, the Rush and Rabbeinu Yonah. All right? Then also to look at Mesir HaMafteach, that's the second half of the Sugya. That's Rashi, Tosus, Rishonim here, but also the Ravid in the Chuvas of the Ravid and the Tmim Deim, the Ravid has a piece on this. And I think I also told you to look at very quickly the question of Chazaka. Do you kona bekinyan Chazaka in general, the Machlokes and the Rambam and the Ravid, in the beginning of Hilchos Mechira, whether you need a kinyan begufa davar or a kinyan peros, lechazeku kni in the peros of a sadeh can also bring you to chazaka. Again, this sounds like it's going to be very big. It could be, but it won't be. I mean, we're going to make it short. It touches on some very big topics, but I do want to try to finish off quickly so we can move on to the next two ibayas of the Gemara, and mostly so we can get to Dalet Amud Beis about Bittul. Okay, so we continue Yom Yeretz Hashem on Sunday. Okay, I've got to run. Any questions, save up. I'll do them Sunday.